Father, thank you again for bringing us here to fellowship, to be in your word. Lord, it's always so refreshing to be with fellow believers and to rejoice in you. And I pray that tonight your name will be magnified, that you would just wow us with your glory and your splendor. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And I pray that you'll just speak through me exactly how you want the message shared. We just praise you for giving us a kingdom beyond our wildest dreams and for all you did to make that possible. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, turn to Exodus 17 so I can kind of set up the message for tonight. Exodus 17, we'll start in verse 1. And I'm just going to read a few verses to kind of set up what we're going to be looking at. All right, so Exodus 17, starting in verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So here we go again with that. So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand and staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And so what jumped out at me from this that I want to share tonight is, and you know what, let me go back. I forgot to run through our memory verse and all that. So we've got our text read, but let's go ahead and read together our memory verse. And this week we'll get a new one because we have the rest of those lessons for that week. So let's read Exodus 15, 4 through 6. "Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." Exodus 15, 4 through 6. And I think it's, yes, I think it's, no, it's this week. When we talked about Joshua, when they came and they were fighting and he chose the men to fight. And so I, just as we're reading this, what jumped out at me is, Pharaoh's chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea, but God's chosen soldiers are not sunk. They are risen high to spend eternity with him. So it matters who chooses you, and you do. We definitely want to be on the Lord's side. Okay, so the study theme is God doesn't rescue us just to get us out of a bad situation, but for more intimacy with him. And then our focus verse, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst," Exodus 25:8. And that'll be further along in Exodus, but my favorites, I use it. The message tonight is we all need a shepherd. And I love that picture in the middle is one of my favorites. I use it a lot because the sheep, number one, just looks so content. Like, what? He's my shepherd. Like, he just looks like he's just fine there, just happy and content. And the shepherd, I think we need to sometimes remember that when we think of God, sometimes we're tempted to, we imagine him not as he truly is. And we want to know him as he truly is. And we know he has told us he is our Father. And when we're asking him for something that's his will, he's saying, happy to. Like, you know, I'm your shepherd, happy to do that. And so we always want to be in his will, pray in his will. And we also know a good shepherd will chastise and discipline those he loves. So That is sweet. And then, of course, the one on the left is how we feel sometimes. Sometimes we're kind of down, little sheep. And on the other side, sometimes we're just jumping up and down for joy. And I thought this little guy jumping up and down for joy is so like us. Sometimes we just, we get so out of control that we come down and land wrong on our ankle. Like, we just don't even know what we're doing sometimes. But we need a shepherd. We just need a shepherd. So that's what we're going to be looking at. We see here that God gave them Moses to shepherd them through the wilderness. God would really be doing the shepherding, but he would do it through his under-shepherd Moses. And we see that the people who would not survive without him are now ready to stone him. They're mad at him again. He can see that they're thinking about killing him. They're about to turn on their shepherd. And then at the end, they actually say, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Well, he parted a Red Sea. You know, he's doing all these things. Like, what more do you want? Sending bread from heaven. He's doing all that he did in Egypt that they witnessed, for goodness sake. And they're daring to say, "Is the Lord among us or not?" But we have to be so careful, because sometimes, as we said, we'll be seeing ourselves in much of this. If life is going the way we want, we'll just praise God. I've got such a good shepherd. God is my shepherd. This is all. But then suddenly life isn't going the way we want it to, and we can turn into really pouty sheep, and we wonder why. And I think one thing this Exodus 2 study is doing for us is kind of helping train us how to handle disappointments and how to handle things when they're not going the way we want them to. I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but I had seen, and this has happened before, where someone you know, or maybe they've been in your Bible study, and you can see on social media that they appear to be deconstructing. You know, at one time they really seemed fired up, and it usually boils down, trying to think if there's a case I can think of when it didn't, it'll boil down to life not turning out like they thought it would, or life, maybe a hope, something they thought God would do for them, and he hasn't done it. And I think, Lord, you have taught us not against idolatry. Because if we love anything more than him, if we don't get that thing, we might turn on him. And that is so dangerous for us. And that's, he does not want us going there. So he's reminding us, you need a shepherd. And I love you. And anything going on in your life, if you're mine, it's for your good and for his glory. So in fear or rebellion, we can find ourselves tempted to snuff out our only hope, actually turning on the very one who loves, protects, provides, and cares for us the most. So this video, it's a little bit disturbing, but here's an example of a sheep turning on his shepherdess.
Also, was mich wundert, ist, dass der nicht, wenn du jetzt hier ein Stück fährst, dass der nicht dann automatisch umschaltet und neu rechnet.
Hat die was für Haare? Ach, Scheiße, fällt hier noch ein Fall von dem Schafen überrannt. Scheiße.
Das ist der Bock, ne?
Ja.
Na gut, davor.
Ach, Scheiße. Hey, 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 hey! Scheiße. Pass auf mit den Hunden.
Okay. So that has always, I don't know, I saw that video on YouTube years ago, but it's disturbing, obviously, because you feel so bad for the shepherdess. But I find it so interesting. The sheep panic, and in their panic, that one knocks her down. And it's so bizarre, because when the sheep, it appears everyone's kind of cleared, when she tries to get back up, he finds it necessary to turn and knock her down again. And God is able to handle us. When we are his and we are getting very upset about something, we need to go to him honestly. He can handle it. You know, we need to come to him and say, "Lord, I am so disappointed. I really thought you would come through on this for this reason, but I know that you will never withhold good from me." Like, we have to speak truth to our own hearts. If we're angry, bring it to him. He already knows we're angry. So my point is, we don't want to harm our shepherd. We love our shepherd. We need our shepherd. We're desperate for our shepherd. But we need to not play games. We need to be very honest, and we need to go to him with everything. So it's such a picture, isn't it, of Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, came to die for all of us, and was nailed to a cross. So that's what the people that needed a shepherd, when the shepherd came, they killed him. And yet, our shepherd, of course, rose again, just like this shepherdess we saw tried to get back up, and Jesus got up for the ultimate victory. So he is our ultimate shepherd. In Matthew 9, I'm going to go ahead and turn there real quick. Matthew 9, just to get the heart of our shepherd. And it just keeps coming to mind how the people were so fickle. And aren't people just so fickle? Here's God doing these miracles. I mean, just doing all this for his nation, for Israel. And then when things don't go the way they want them to, they just turn on him as if they don't need a shepherd. And that's what we have to humble ourselves to know. We cannot, God holds our breath in his hands. Like, talk about needing a shepherd. We desperately need him. All right, in Matthew 9, starting in verse 35, it just helps us see our Savior's heart. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Don't you love that? He didn't look at them and go, "Y'all are a mess. I'm out of here." That's not at all what our Savior is like. He's like, "Y'all are a mess. You need a shepherd." And so it goes on to say, then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And I started thinking of people that I've prayed for years who are not yet believers, and others who are in darkness and in a mess. And I just started asking God, "Would you send laborers into the harvest? Would you just surround them with believers? Would you bring someone along that they might hear and even maybe admire that could share the gospel?" So that's God doesn't want to leave us in a mess. It's why Christ came, is so that we would have a shepherd and know which way to go. Then in John 10:4, again, and y'all, if we did every verse on shepherds in the Bible, we could not finish tonight. There are so many, but in John 10, verse 4, Jesus said, when he has brought out, and he's talking about himself, a shepherd, and he's saying, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So we need the Savior. We need to know his voice. That's why we gather here on Tuesdays, to hear from him, to get to know him better. It's why we spend time with him alone. But this second video it's just the neatest little example. This is going to be, it appears to be a shepherd or a farmer, and he's letting, I don't know if they're tourists or friends, I don't know who they are, but he's letting them call the sheep. And the sheep flat ignore everybody. And so it's kind of neat to see how sheep really do only respond to their shepherd.
One more time.
Oh my God! Is he right for?
This scared them.
Yeah, you just made him go away.
Oh my God.
Was that cool or what?
Yeah.
You will never have the same again.
Oh my God. How can we leave the video coming?
I love that. That's how we want to be. We don't want to be the sheep knocking our shepherd down. We want to be the, come on in. I am so, you can't just stand, come in if you can. I just am so excited to see you. What fun to turn around and see your face. So we want to be not like the first sheep that knocked down his shepherdess. He was going to be in big trouble because who's going to shepherd him? You know, unless she can get up and do something, he's in big trouble because he really needs her to feed him, show him where to go, turn him upside down. If he gets upside down, turn him right side up, all these things. So I love the second picture. That's how we want to be. We hear his voice and we come a running and we know how important he is to us and that we need him desperately, and we just adore him so much, knowing that he loves us so much too. So this sets me up for where Jesus is saying, you know, they know my voice, and we just saw an example of how that is a true thing with shepherds and sheep. And in Revelation 13:11, warning about Antichrist and end times, it says, "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon." So when the world is saying, I mean, they're going to think, oh, it's the lamb, it's the Savior. Look at this. And they're just, but the speaking is what is going to, I don't care what this looks like. It's the words, it's the speaking that are going to cause God's true sheep. They are not going to follow a stranger. They are not going to listen. We're going to be running the other way. We're going to be trying to warn other people. But those of the world who don't know him, they can just fall right into him because they have not chosen Christ as their shepherd. So that's a warning. That's very important that we know his voice. Knowing his voice is our protection, just like those sheep. You know, they weren't going to fall for just anybody leading them away. There could be a false shepherd trying to take them somewhere horrible that would be bad for them. And, of course, we know that's who Satan is. And Satan has a lot of co-workers out there, humans willing to be false shepherds who lead people in, call them out, pretend to be a shepherd, and they just pretty much devour the sheep. So it makes us so grateful for our shepherd who only is good to us continually. So we know in Isaiah 53, prophecy about Christ, that it says, "We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So who is the one who suffered for our going the wrong way? Christ. Christ did it. We are so loved, so cared for, and we truly have gone our own way. You know, we are sheep who went astray and we turned to our own way as if our own way could be better than his way. And we're learning, I mean, just watch the evening news if you want to see which way is better. Obviously, we want to walk in his way, but that brings us to the actual passage, Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. So let me turn to that real quick. Really, this is the passage I knew I wanted to share tonight. And then when I saw it showed up, I forgot it was going to be in our lessons too. So let me find Proverbs 3, I think it's 5 through 8. Maybe it's 5. Yeah, that my precious daddy, every card he signs, like every Christmas card, birthday card, whatever he signs, he always puts Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And I thought, what a good message to always be giving your kids and grandkids, just really good reminder. So let's look at that starting in verse 5, Proverbs 3, 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." And we've talked about this. Our understanding is limited. We do not know it all. And when we lean on our own understanding, it actually opens the door for voices to come in that we ought not be listening to. So we don't want to lean on our own understanding. We want to lean on the Lord. And we want to go to him and say, "Lord, I don't know it all. I need you desperately to show me what to do here, there, or whatever." Okay, verse 6. "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Well, you know, sometimes if we're reading this like it's a religion, this is where we mess up, and we're like, acknowledge him in all, you know, in all your ways, acknowledge him, like all of them. I've got to do all of them, like it's some sort of burden or what. No, he's inviting us. He's saying, you can acknowledge me in anything, in everything. In fact, you should. You need to. I'm commanding you to. That's how much he loves us. So this is really silly, but especially now in the position I find myself, there are decisions that I am made that I'm not used to making, things that have to be done that I've not had to do myself before. And I am saying, you are my husband. And of course, Janet, for years before I knew this would happen to me, has been so precious about teaching us that he is our husband. And last time you zoomed to the hospital and you were like, I wasn't alone. My husband was with me. God was with her. She is sharing day to day how she walks with her husband. So I had, okay, my car had a slow leak in the front tire. So I'm having to take it. The first time I had to put air in the tires, this sounds pathetic, but I'm like, What do you do? You know, I don't know. My dad's always done it. And I never had done it. And then, I'm doing it. Well, now I'm like a pit stop, you know, crewman. I like get in there. Before I even turn the machine on, because that's my whole thing, I'm going to run out of time, you know, and have to spend, what, another $1.50 to like fill it up. So I unscrew all the caps, put my credit card in, and once it starts going, I'm you know, go to each tire, getting it done. So my car doesn't tell me which tire's low. It just says low tire pressure. So I didn't know until I did it a couple of times and realized, okay, it's always you that takes longer than every other tire. So I knew I had a slow leak. So I pull into the Shell station every now and then, do my pit stop. And then I was just praying, God, I know I'm almost close to needing new tires. I'm just asking you, like he's done for me in so many other areas, have me where I need to be, getting those tires whenever it's time. Just lead me, show me, please help me with my tires. Well, I think it was the next day. I mean, it was very not long after this. I get a call. A lot of y'all know Teresa Gernat and as tag maybe. But so Teresa called and we had a meeting later that day. She said, would you pick me up on the way? I'm going to be at Costco. I had a nail in my tire. I got to get tires. So of course, I'm like, God, you're so good. Oh, my goodness. So I pick her up, and she's saying, they're running a special. If you have a Costco card, they're running a special on this, and now's the time to get them. Get them while, it's on. They're doing this. Well, I didn't have a Costco card, but I got a Costco card, and I actually got tires yesterday all by myself. I went and got tires, and I know there are lots and lots of other people on the planet getting their own tires as well, so that's not a whole lot to write home about. And it was dear yesterday. I had a couple from my old neighborhood, and they were over for lunch, and they're just so fun and precious. And while we're eating, and I'm talking about my tires, the man is on his phone reading the warranty, all the Costco stuff, to be sure that's the right fit for me. Isn't that sweet? Like, just everybody, we all need. But with so I share that, and thank you for letting me, because I know it sounds like a silly little thing, but with believers who are truly his sheep, nothing's too small. In fact, sometimes the huge things we kind of expect him to step in. A lot of times what just tenderizes my heart is when he steps in on the tiny things. And you just realize he's so in the details. Like he really cares about every detail and he wants to show himself as that. So let's embrace and applaud that we get to acknowledge him in all we do. Whatever we're doing, we want his input. We want to know which way we should go. All right, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And this is something I prayed for a couple of years for God to grow me in the fear of him. And I can even look back because I met him when I was 7 or 8, which means, you know, the hard part of that is pretty much any sin I can remember I committed after I was saved, you know, where someone else that becomes a believer at, you know, 60, they're like, it's all washed away. And that was all before I knew him. So I love how the Lord will rescue us at just the right age for us, you know, whenever the time is right. So I pray for fear of the Lord. And when I think back, honestly, high school, college, I was so blessed to fear him more. Like peer pressure was never an issue for me because I loved him more. So, and I'm not saying that like, look at me, look at me. I'm saying legitimately that is something he blessed me with. It doesn't mean I didn't make mistakes and there aren't things I wish I didn't get into, but I can remember not going to certain things thinking, what if Christ comes tonight? That's not where I want to be if he comes. So it was that real to me. And I look back going, that was him. That was him protecting me. He knew you won't be able to handle it. Those are some pits. Other people, I can get them out. You know, you're not going into those pits. So Deuteronomy 6:24 says, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day." So he's saying, you do not want to disobey me. You do not. It will not go well for you. It's going to land you in places you don't want to go. Don't do it. He loves us that much. He's saying, you need to fear stepping out of my ways. And it's the same. We put the fear of God in our children to look both ways before they cross the street because we know what can happen if they don't. And so that's something we just drive home, things like that, because we love them so much and we're about their good always. And then verse 8, "It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." So I thought, abiding with and obeying our shepherd. You saw how those sheep, and I've read this before, sheep love to, like, they'll come in to press against the shepherd, and they want to be near him, and that's how I picture myself. I want to always be that sheep that's, like, right next to the shepherd. Like, where are we going? I want to be, you know, and he lets us all be so close. But by doing that, abiding, obeying him, it does bring healing and refreshment. And I know last week, y'all have been so dear the last couple of weeks, I've just had to be honest and say, I'm really not doing great. I mean, I am in the sense that I know God's healing me, but it's been hard, you know, new grieving and new this and new that. This week, I was telling Vicki, has been better. So thank you for your prayers. I know God's healing, and I'm not going to lose it if next week I'm having another bad day. You know, the Lord will walk me through that, because one thing I want to be sure is that I fully grieve this thing. I don't want anything left. And so I love that it does bring healing and refreshment to continue to press into him rather than get angry and run the other way or lash out at him. All right, and then verses 9 through 12, just to finish up this little section, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." And why would we honor God for that? Because obviously anything we have is his. Any blessing comes from above. Anyone that thinks they've developed their own wealth and that wasn't God's providential hand in their life, it's going to be a tough wake-up call when they realize those were gifts from God, and how they handle them is how, you know, they'll answer to him. Verse 11, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." And I need to read those kind of verses often because I don't like to get in trouble. I don't like to be corrected. Nobody, I don't think anybody loves that. But he reminds us, if I'm doing that for you, it's because I love you and you're one of mine. So the song we're going to listen to is, and Amy just walked in. If I'd known this, I wouldn't have had a song, and I would have made you take the mic and sing for us. And then I'd act like it was a big surprise for the group that we planned. No, I wouldn't. That would be dishonest. So our song is going to be "The Lord is My Shepherd." So let's just enjoy him, honor him, and then after we're done, we'll get quiet. If you feel to pray out loud, do, and if not, no problem. Oh dear. Here we go. Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd, of all that I need, he makes me lie down where the pastures are green. Beside quiet waters, he leads me to rest and guides me on paths of his righteousness. This he has done, his great name to display. Alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah. mercy, my cup overflows. This he has done, his great name to display. Alleluia. Surely your goodness and glorious grace.